Rhode Island, welcome to Parent Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to new parents, new babies, and their new lives together. So listen and relax because it's free, it's funny, and it's a lot better than therapy. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 23 of Parent Cast. I'm your host, Mary.
My name is Blake.
Oh, and your voice just cracked.
Way to ruin my mojo.
Wow, that was like puberty.
Hey, I'm going to redo that. Okay, ready? My name is Blake, and I have never been so excited for an episode of Parent Cast.
Really?
Not once. Not yet. Not ever.
What about the premiere episode?
Nope. Still not as excited.
Why are you so excited about this episode?
Because we are having, for you, our wonderful listeners, probably the people that are behind one of the most important and popular podcasts in all of the podcast universe.
Do tell.
They are Tony and Elisa DiLorenzo. And they have the One Extraordinary Marriage podcast, which talks all about intimacy and marriage and how to get the two back working together. And they've been through a lot of stuff in their time, and they've come through it. And Jesus, God, they're good people. They're good people, too. I really liked speaking with them. They were nice. They were informative. They're funny. They got a lot of personality. And they had microphones, too, which is even better. You know, it makes it for the interview. Oh, to be so much more cleaner and listenable. Loved him. Oh, God. Just if I had a crush on somebody, it would be Tony and Elisa.
I think you do. After listening to that, wow. Yeah, you do, honey.
And the thing is, too, like, they not only do they podcast, they help a lot of people. Like, they have their own coaching. They have their own books. They got ebooks up the wazoo.
These people know what they're talking about.
Oh, my God. And they're professional, too. If you want to get information on how to handle your intimate life with your spouse, you really talk to these people. These people are the experts. They really are. And that's why we had them on for you guys. And you're going to hear them very soon because they are who to talk to when you really don't know what happened to your intimate life. You don't know where it went. And it's not because you don't want it, or it's not because that it sucks. It's just that kind of went away. You had all this other crap to do, right? You had kids and you had money issues and you had responsibilities. And all of a sudden you wake up one day and you realize, holy crap, I haven't had sex in like 2 months. Or I like my wife or I like my husband, but I don't know how to be physical with them anymore.
Or just chat with them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. I mean, how many times do we go to a restaurant and see a couple, an older couple, let's call them in their 50s, or maybe their late 40s, and they're having dinner, and they're not speaking to each other. They're not even looking at each other. There's no warmth. There's no relationship. They're there eating communally because that's what they've done for the past 15 years.
All too often I see that.
I know, right?
All too often. And
the antidote, it really is Tony and Elisa. I swear to God. I mean, we listen to them. We listen to their podcast all the time.
The truth is that relationships take work. And we've talked about before how to keep your relationship with friends who may not have kids. Mm-hmm. But truth be told, if you have a significant other in your life, that relationship, hoo-wee, you got to keep that rolling or else the whole thing's going to fall apart.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm really, really pumped to have these two on for you. But before we do, it is time to enter the judgment-free zone.
Boom. All right, Marvin, I had last week. What do you got?
Our child is now, 16 months old?
I think so, yep.
And he's a pretty good eater. He eats a lot of things, but we really keep him pretty healthy.
Mm-hmm. Try to.
So we try. I mean, he's been to a birthday party and he had a cupcake. He had a cake on his own birthday. But aside from that, he really doesn't eat too much aside from when you gave him a bajillion munchkins.
9 munchkins. I'm gonna beat that record soon, by the way.
Please don't. Because after me, he has enough sugar in his system.
What do you mean?
Well, I had to go and open a new bank account.
Uh-huh.
And I thought if I do it first thing in the morning with the bank opens, while Reese and I are on a walk, maybe he'll just be so happy. He'll be in a stroller And I was efficient. I told these people, I went in the day before and I said, listen, just give me the paperwork. I don't want to sit here. I want to fill it out in my own time. Mm-hmm. Just give me the paperwork. I'll see you tomorrow. And they did. They were pretty good.
Good.
So I come back the next day with my pre-done paperwork, and they had assured me the day before that this is going to be a quick process. Bank people lie. It was not quick.
That's all they do is lie.
Goodness.
It's like them and weathermen. All yes. they do is lie.
Oh, gosh. So there I am. I already pre-signed everything, and she's asking me all these questions. Do you want this? Do you want that? Do you want it this way? I was like, girl, I just need you to hold my money. Like, I just basically need to be able to bring you checks and you give me cash. Like, that's all I care about. And so, of course, my kids start screaming.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him toys. He threw them on the ground.
Didn't work.
I gave him a pacifier. He threw it on the ground. I gave him my phone and played some music. I played it so loud because I was mad at these bank people. Mm-hmm. I played it wicked loud. And it kind of calmed him down for like 3 minutes. Everyone was listening to, hello, everybody. I'm so glad to see you. Yeah, everyone. But then he started screaming through that. So finally the lady said, I know he's too young, but would you like a lollipop? And I was like, girl, yeah.
Not only would he like a lollipop, he'd like three, thanks.
Yeah. Why didn't you freaking give me a lollipop when I came in here with a screaming toddler? Yes, please. And now I understand why kids like the bank. My parents didn't really bring me to the bank that often, and probably because we would have just asked for like a bajillion lollipops. But these people were great. They gave him a lollipop, and that kid sucked on that lollipop for a good 15 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he was just going, So needless to say, I have broken my child's cherry when it comes to lollipops by giving him...
You went there. You did. You know what? It's in line with intimacy. Why not, right?
No, I'm not going there. I'm just saying I
you
gave
did
him
a... little bit.
Well, I just mean I gave him a lollipop, and I didn't really expect to do it this early. But I don't care, because I got my banking done, and that's what matters. So that's my judgment-free zone.
You just... filling your kid full of sugar.
Don't judge me. Well, now that you all know about my sugar-laden child.
9 munchkins and 47 lollipops later.
Yes. You're going to get to know Blake and I a little bit better because of today's conversation. So let's just bring in the experts. Joining us now is Tony and Alyssa DiLorenzo from the One Extraordinary Marriage podcast. We are so excited to have them on because they have dealt with many adversities in their marriage over the years, and they've overcame it all together. As a result, their podcast is one of the most downloaded and listened to shows in all of iTunes, and they are experts in the ways of marriage and intimacy. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. I'm not going to lie. I have been listening to your podcast now for a while, and it truly has been an inspiration because the first year of having a baby is a tough one on new parents, and it's tough on the marriage sometimes. So it has been really invigorating for me to listen to your podcast and to hear your different tips and the different struggles that people have while I go on walks with the baby, and then I'm able to apply it to my own marriage with Blake. So I'm so excited you're here to talk with us.
Well, we're excited too. Thanks a lot, Mary and Blake, for having us.
And it's nice to know that we're accompanying you and the baby on your walks, and then, you know, an active part of your marriage when you come home from those walks. We love hearing that.
Blake must be so, he must have wondered, like, why I come home after walking the baby and I'm all like romantic and
we got candlelight dinners, and we're like ready to go.
You're like, I have no idea what you're doing on those walks, but keep going, honey. Go yes. for the walk.
It's the endorphins, guys.
Just do one more mile, please. It's okay. Before we get started, tell us a little bit about the main goal of your podcast and what you guys are all about.
Really, what it comes down to for us, I mean, when we started One Extraordinary Marriage almost 5 years ago now, our whole goal was if we could impact one marriage. If we could change one marriage for the better and just bring hope to someone out there. And we had no idea, you know, 229 episodes ago that we were literally going to have the opportunity to impact lives around the world. And we do that through the fact that, you know, when people tune into our show, it is Tony and I getting raw and real about A to Z when it comes to marriage. And, you know, not being afraid to take off our masks and say, you know what, sometimes marriage is really hard. You know, Mary, you brought up, you know, that first year after the baby, and there are just times when your world is upside down, and yet, you know, you're supposed to still crawl into bed with this guy. You're like, yeah, I know it mattered at some point in time, but like, I can't even see straight right now. And so being able to bring hope to couples in all phases of marriage, I mean, that's really what One Extraordinary Marriage is all about.
Okay, so we have three major topics that we're going to cover today. And you guys, I know you did refer to them as the big three. Mm-hmm. Tell us what you mean by the big three, and then we'll get into those major topics.
Yeah, so what we have found out over the years of doing the One Extraordinary Marriage show and working with couples and coaching and other areas of their marriage is that there are three areas that couples really need to hone in on. And what ends up happening when they do look at these three areas, it can impact the different areas of intimacy in their marriage. Because we believe intimacy is more than just sex, which is what people think when we say that. But there's your emotional intimacy, there's your financial intimacy, there's your spiritual intimacy, and then, yes, there's your physical and sexual intimacy. So if couples are intentional in their marriage, now, again, it could be in any one of those intimacies or overall, there are going to be some really cool outcomes that happen because they're being intentional about something. The next is stop the glorification of busy. All too often, we will say to our spouse, I'm busy because I'm looking at my phone. And that means I don't have time for you. So we're big on, let's stop this glorification. Like, oh, look how busy I am. And I wear it on, like, oh, look at me, look at me, look at me. And really, all you're doing is hurting yourself and you're hurting your spouse. And then lastly, it's all about taking action. Because you can be intentional. You can stop that busyness. And yet, if you just sit there and never take action and try to move forward, and it could be a real little baby step, because we've been there. We've taken baby steps and we've taken giant leaps before. But if you don't start moving forward, you're going to be the same place you are now a year from now.
My mind is already going. I'm trying to think of how I can get better. Well, let's start off with the first topic that you said, be intentional. So can you amplify on this theory for our listeners a little bit?
Sure. And, you know, I know, Mary, that you've shared with us, ParentCast, a lot of your listeners are, you know, moms and dads who are kind of in those first years of baby and child rearing and things like that. And a lot of what happens in that time is, you know, your world becomes focused around this helpless little being that you've brought home that, you know, gets up in the middle of the night because for whatever reason, they choose not to sleep through the night right away. And then they have, you know, they need diapers and food and all this kind of stuff. And sometimes you just forget that, you know, this other person, this other adult in the house is there. And so it's being intentional. It's looking at that other person and saying, you know what, this is the primary relationship in our household. And I need to remember, we need to remember as a couple that this relationship, when we focus on it, all of the other relationships in this household, the dynamics between children and parents and children with each other, they fall into place when the marriage relationship is the primary relationship. And that happens when you do date nights. It happens when you talk. I mean, like you even mentioned, you know, at the onset of the show about, you know, going for a walk, being intentional about listening to the podcast while you're out walking and then coming home and interacting with Blake in a different way based on what you heard in the podcast. But you had to make the decision to listen to the podcast in the first place.
I agree. That's
being intentional. I mean, that's a perfect demonstration for all of your listeners and a great way for them to be able to incorporate it because there are, you know, there are strollers everywhere. Just stick the baby in the stroller. It's good for you. It's good for the baby. And if you can be, you know, getting some great information, great content while you're out walking, well, it's just a win for everyone.
How often do you find couples not focusing on their marriage when they have a new baby?
All the time.
Do you think this is like the foremost problem that you find?
Well, it's very easy, especially for first-time parents, because let's face it, your world it, all of a sudden you went from being, you know, focused on the two of you and able to sleep in and able to travel whenever you, you know, able to do whatever you want because it's two adults doing whatever. And then all of a sudden, you know, overnight, you literally go from being two to three and the third being is completely helpless. So it's very easy to all of a sudden, the world revolves around this tiny little being. And while it's true, they have needs, and I'm not, please don't get me wrong, I'm not saying for anyone to neglect their children. What I'm saying is that you have to remember, and you have, I know for some of the couples that I coach, I even say, you know, put a little sign up saying, you know, spouse is first, kids are second.
You know, oddly enough, when we actually had Reese, our son, before we got out of the car after bringing him home from the hospital, the first thing I did when I parked that car into the driveway, I looked at Mary and I said, promise me that you're always going to put us first. And I know that's kind of counterintuitive for a lot of parents. I know I've told that to a lot of my friends who have kids, and they're like, what are you talking about? How can you put your marriage first? It's about your kid. But I can't imagine it any other way.
Right.
We are the foundation of this marriage. So for those who haven't made that kind of mental transition, what are some really good examples or the best examples you can think of actually being intentional with their spouse?
So I think one area we should touch on is the sexual intimacy, because this is an area that goes by the wayside quick. And now it can go by the wayside prior to having kids. And then after you have kids, my goodness, it can really go by the wayside. And if you're not intentional about it, and we hear it often and we get emails often where, you know, one spouse will go, we've had sex, you know, six times in the last year, or I can barely get my husband to join me in bed. I think the last time we had sex was last month, you know? And so many of us are looking for this romantic, this amazing, what we like to call a 30-minute sitcom marriage, where within 30 minutes, we go through maybe some good times, maybe some little bad times, but we all make up. Unfortunately, we live in the real world, and that doesn't happen. So we need to be intentional about our sexual intimacy. One thing Elise and I have done now, 4 years, is called what we call the intimacy lifestyle. And many in the one family, those who are part of the community, have done this as well. And the whole thing about the intimacy lifestyle is that we are intentional every week about making love. And so the way it works is that on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, I am to initiate sex on one of those days. On Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, I initiate. On Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, Elisa has the opportunity to pick one of those days and initiate sex. So each week, we know pretty much we're going to have sex two times a week, other than when Elisa is having her period. And then sometimes we still even work around that. We'll throw in a bonus day the week before, the week after. So that is one example of being intentional in marriage when it comes to your sexual intimacy.
And you also, you know, for so many couples, especially those with newborns or, you know, young children, being intentional about your emotional intimacy, talking about something besides the baby or the kids. Mm-hmm. And this was an area that we struggled in. You know, we'd go out on date nights and, you know, we'd spend 2 hours talking about our son when he was first born. And so it's having those tools at your disposal to say, okay, what else do we talk? I mean, before you got married, you know, even before you had kids, you were talking about like where you wanted to travel and what you wanted to do and dreams and fears and all this kind of stuff. And then it, you know, disintegrates into diapers and baby food and toys and play dates, which things that are important, but they're not the most important things. And one of the tools that we actually provide everyone that comes to One Extraordinary Marriage is 77 questions to get the conversation started. You know, any of your listeners can go to oneextraordinarymarriage.com. They're going to see the ability to sign up for that right in the middle of the homepage. And it's a tool to be able to get past those questions of, hey, honey, will you pick up the milk on your way home from work? Or don't forget to pay the bills or any of that type of stuff. It actually gives them other ways to have conversation.
Moving on to our next big topic. If there's one thing we are as parents, it is busy. And we're mm-hmm. always doing something where we either have the kid like on our hip, or we're changing diapers, or we're driving somewhere we got to go. Who knows? What are you getting at when you're emphasizing the idea of stop the glorification of busy?
Yeah. And this is just, and I'm not saying that we don't have things to do. I get it. I remember when, you know, Alex was four, five-ish, and Abby was 1, 2. I mean, you have one in diapers, one running around. Yeah, we are moving sometimes apart from each other and handling one or the other. And yeah, you're busy. And yet, are you always busy doing that? Because I think that's an excuse that a lot of parents will use. Well, I'm busy doing this all the time, and I'm busy doing that. And I bet you, if I were to just zoom in on a handful of couples who have a newborn to say 1 or 2 years old, I bet you if we zoomed in, I could find times in their day when they're just goofing off, but saying they're busy. And now the problem with that is when we constantly say that to our spouse, because it's almost a form of rejection. Well, I'm too busy because I don't want to spend time with you. You know, I'm so busy, but I'm really just sitting on the TV right now, vegging out.
Or volunteering, or, you know, spending time with friends instead of spending time with each other. You know, busyness, your spouse knows when you're so busy doing other stuff, and yet at the end of the day, you don't have time or energy for them. And that's really what we're getting at when we say stop the glorification of busy, that, you know, all of these things are worthwhile. But again, it comes back to the fact that the marriage is the primary relationship. And so if you're so busy doing for everyone and everything else that you don't have time to make that marriage relationship a priority, then you need to take a really long, hard look at what you're doing and get back to only those things that foster the marriage relationship.
You know, prior to having my son, I had a very busy job for a year, and Blake and I knew that it was hard for our marriage. It's not like we suffered, but I was kept up long nights through the job. I was up mm-hmm. early mornings, and it was like our date nights were events that I had to go to together for work, and I didn't get to speak to him. And so I have made the conscious decision not to do a job like that again. And even though it was a fantastic job, I know that it would hurt my marriage. So, you know, I've chosen things that allow me to have real date nights with him rather than work date nights. So, however, sometimes our date nights have been staying home and watching television together. So how bad is the TV for an intimate relationship?
Well, I think if it's one of those things where you guys both have come to that conclusion together, hey, date night is what you guys, or date day, it's what you guys make it. There's nobody out there that should point the finger and say, hey, it only should be this way. Like, you should go out, go to a restaurant, make sure you guys go do a movie or walk along the beach or do this, and then make sure you get dessert. You know, there have been times when Elisa and I have done that. You know, especially when the kids were younger, if, you know, my parents, if they would take them, we would just go hang out at a park and do nothing. You know, there have been times when we've had to do stay at home date nights. And I'm assuming that's what maybe you guys are talking about, where, hey, let's get the kids to bed. And we've done this when the kids were young. We would go, okay, I have Alex, I'm reading to him. Elisa has Abby, she's reading to her. Whoever gets whichever kid down first is going to run down to the restaurant that we've chosen, going to order up food, going to come back and do picnic on the living room floor. And then we're going to go watch a show on Amazon Prime or something. And we have done that. And you know what? Some of the most fun we've had, because we had to get we just had to experiment, and we had to try some new things and go, you know what? This is totally cool. And now that's changed over the years. Just this Sunday, we had some friends, picked up both the kids, took them to a pool party for 8 hours.
Wow.
It was so cool.
Yes. We were thinking, hey, this is going to be like 3-4 hours and we're checking in. They're like, no, everybody's fine. We had 8 hours and we went to a new place here in Solana Beach called the Cedros Avenue
Design District.
Never been there. Walked down there. There's all these really cool shops. There happened to be a farmer's market. We're checking out all these fun shops and did a little retail therapy, bought some cool pictures for our house. But it was completely different. We even came home after that and thinking, hey, the kids are going to be here soon. And they didn't show up for another 2 hours. And we just hung out, had dinner, and just chilled. We were just hanging out on the couch, just talking.
Oh, that's amazing. It sounds like a mini vacation.
Eight hours. If you can string together 8 hours, it is a mini vacation.
It was truly amazing. But those are different. I mean, and I think Elise would agree with this. Hey, it's what you two can do, you make it happen.
I will say one thing for the TV. If that's the only type of day, and I know you're not saying this, but for any of your listeners, if sitting in front of the TV is the only time that the two of you spend time together, then I'm going to say no on that. But if it's an occasional thing, like you've got your favorite TV show and that's what you do on, you know, Thursday nights and you laugh and you talk about it after, then by all means, but just don't have that be the only way the two of you spend time together.
You know, it's funny that you said that because during the newborn phase, we watched a lot of TV. Looking back on it now, I'm like, God, those were the good days when he would just sleep. He didn't crawl around and ruin things. But I love my son. I love my son. I digress. But I started to notice that Blake and I did just watch TV and we didn't really spend time talking to each other. And so we had to decide that we weren't going to watch TV on Mondays. I mean, as silly as that sounds, it was like unplugged Mondays. You know, it couldn't go on. There was nothing good that we needed on that night, no matter what. And it really helped. You know, we would read or we'd sit in bed and chat and it made a huge difference.
Well, the Monday thing only lasted until 24 came on. And then 24 took the priority.
Well, I do love that little TV, Monday TV hiatus that you had, because what that tells me, Mary, is that you guys made the decision to be intentional right there, that you realized that you were losing something in your marriage. And you said, you know what, we're going to change this. And that's the intentionality that right there demonstrates exactly what we were saying about being intentional in your marriage.
I feel like I deserve a sticker.
Gold star, virtual gold star.
Woohoo.
So tell us, what do you think is the best way to combat the dreaded busy?
The best way is to, you know, when opportunities present themselves. I mean, you know, parents of young children will, especially once you kind of get past the newborn stage and start getting to the toddler stage, you're going to be inundated with like birthday parties and play dates and lessons up the wazoo, everything from sports to art to music to whatever. And it's looking at each one of those opportunities and saying, is this going to build our marriage and our family? I mean, we have very good friends. And I remember when the wife told me that that's how she evaluates every opportunity that comes into their family. She says, will this grow my family? And if the answer is no, if it'll make us feel too frazzled or too busy or whatever, then she turns around and puts a no on whatever that opportunity is. She goes, because nothing is more important than my marriage and my family. And I think if more people took that stand instead of thinking, oh my gosh, well, we just have to say yes to everybody because somebody's feelings might get hurt. Or, you know, what if our child misses an opportunity? The reality is your child will grow up just fine having missed one or two, you know, swim lessons or soccer lessons or whatever. I mean, our kids are in sports. We do it, you know, we do a lot, but we don't do it all. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think it has to be. The way to combat busyness is to be okay saying the first word that your child will probably learn, and that's the word no. It might be mom or dad, but shortly thereafter, the no's will come. Our two-year-olds mastered this. We lose it as an adult. The sooner we can get back to being okay saying no to everyone else, the faster we'll be able to say yes to our spouses.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And we have said no to many a things over the years. And it doesn't mean that you'll never get back to it, or it may just turn into a different, it may just look different in the future. But we have said no to many things, and it's just phases of life. You know, this isn't a sprint. This isn't something that, man, I'm going to just sprint for a year and I'm going to be done. No, this is a lifelong journey. So there are going to be ups and downs and plateaus and things and times when you say no and other times when you're saying yes. And it is truly a balancing act. But whenever you're thinking about, hey, how am I going to be intentional in my marriage? And then what's the busyness that I need to just take out of my marriage right now or out of my life? Those are the first two to really stick to.
That is great. And the third topic that we wanted to cover is take action. So how would you best describe this?
So take action in your marriage. Okay, well, we've discussed something. You know, we're intentional. Again, let's go back to the sexual intimacy part of it, you know, the intimacy lifestyle. And for those folks who are listening to this and going, whoa, what is that, Tony? That sounds wild. Go to oneextraordinarymarriage.com/scheduling sex. And in that, when you go there, we talk for 30 minutes on the entire intimacy lifestyle and how we put it together. And we sort of dive into it and dissect it. So we've been intentional right now. We've talked about that. We found how we are going to rid ourselves of some busyness so that we can make time for each other sexually, physically, 2 times a week. For some of you, may only be 1 time a week, whatever that may be. Third, we got to take action though, because if we've come to an agreement, Elise and I have come to an agreement, we've talked about the intimacy lifestyle, we found the ways we're gonna make the time to do it by ridding ourselves of the busyness. But if we don't take action, if I don't initiate on one of those days that I have, well, then nothing's gonna happen. And if she doesn't initiate, then nothing happens. And we're back at the same place we started. And so folks need to be able to step out and go, hey, this is uncomfortable for me. Taking action can be as simple as, I'm really uncomfortable initiating, so please bear with me as we walk through this together. And the reason we started this was that Elisa never initiated. That's a word that we rarely ever use.
He got birthday and anniversary. Many of your listeners will be able to relate to that.
And I had a guess. So it was a way for us together to learn and for Elisa in particular to take action initiating and for me to understand how she would and does initiate.
Elisa, this is a personal question. So how hard was it for you to get over that and say, okay, I am going to initiate?
Oh, it was a huge challenge. I mean, you have to understand, it was probably a good 11, 12 years into our marriage before we implemented the intimacy lifestyle. So Tony had, you know, over a decade of, you know, just birthday and anniversary where it would be like, ooh, okay, here's your, you know, 1 or 2 times a year.
Not even Christmas?
Oh, well, usually we're with his family for Christmas and there's, you know, 12 people in the house. So that just gets awkward. But for me, it also became, what does that look like? Because, you know, I think Hollywood and, you know, the New York Times bestsellers, they kind of give us this idea of, you know, oh, ripping off the clothes and rose petals on the bed or, you know, whatever the, you know, the movie scene is that we think of. And for many people, and I'm just going to say women because that's, you know, that's what I can speak to. Maybe that's not our personality. You know, so what does that look like for me? I mean, for me now, you know, I'll send Tony a text message during the day saying it's my night, you know, and it can be as simple as that. Like, I'm just letting you know, I'm thinking about it in the middle of the day. I'm going to do something before we go to bed tonight. Or, you know, one of the things I started doing a few months ago was, you know, randomly on my days, I will take a picture, a very close up picture of the pattern on my bra. I take a close-up picture because he knows the patterns, but if anybody else got a hold of his phone, there's nothing, you know, the bra is on my bed. This is not like a selfie, naked. No naked selfies. Too much danger in that.
No nip slips.
No. And so I'll just send it to him. The text on the picture will say something like scavenger hunt tonight. And he knows that means he gets to go looking for it. You know, I mean, there's just these little things, but I had to figure out what I was comfortable with. And then I had to tell him, because if I didn't tell him, and we tried this for a while where I didn't tell him and I'm like, why isn't he responding? It's because he didn't know. So when you figured out how you're going to initiate, make sure to tell your spouse. They don't have ESP. And so don't let it be a guessing game. Just say, hey, if I send you a text message like this, or if I call you, or if I leave a note in your briefcase, or if I'm laying in bed naked, I mean, all of these are indicators that I'm in the mood and game on.
Taking action.
Taking action.
And it's a learning process. For us, it was the same thing. Elisa would have to say, because her initiating is very subtle. And so I wasn't catching on. And so she would just say, hey, I'm initiating now. I'm like, oh, okay. Tell me how that works so I can understand it the next time. So taking action is key. And Elisa brought up even the emotional intimacy, the 77 questions to get the conversation started. Sure, go to oneextraordinarymarriage.com/connect, pick up 77 questions. It can sit on your computer for a year. But I'll tell you, those 77 questions, couples who pick that up, take action, say, hey, we're going to just get off of our phones for 15 minutes a night. And we're going to take action. Like, we're going to answer one question each night for 77 days. Those couples who email us, they see change in themselves and in their marriage. They learn something new. And that's what taking action means. And it doesn't have to be massive, but we got to be willing to understand that we grow each and every year. The person I am today is not the kid who married Elisa 17 years ago. I'm a completely different person, and so is Elisa. And what we've done is, by being intentional, subtracting the busyness, and then taking action, is that we've grown together and we continue to grow and we continue to learn about each other and ourselves. And that is the recipe for an extraordinary marriage.
I love that you guys say that, you know, you've learned and grown together. How do you best communicate with a partner who isn't necessarily on the same wavelength, even if it's something as simple as they're not in the mood, or maybe they don't necessarily, they're just not on the same game plan right now?
That becomes part of a process, because as we learned in our own marriage, and you know, just in working with couples around the world, Mary, is that, you know, there's no marriage communication 101 course. I mean, you come into this relationship and you go through this courtship phase where everything's, you know, all roses and, you know, fluffy unicorns and, you know, all of this wonderful stuff. And then you say your I do's and, you know, the bills start to come and the jobs start to come. And then there's that screaming newborn in the house. And yeah, communication is easily derailed. And so it's all about having a plan and learning those skills that for most of us aren't inherent. Mm-hmm. And you know, in our case, we failed miserably for years, and we couldn't actually find anything that worked for us. And it really became one of those things where we had to create our own system. And we've done that. I mean, that's something that it's actually called he zigs, she zags, get your communication on the same path. And it's a tool, a system that couples can use to navigate these challenges, specifically the communication challenges, but they can use it in any area of their marriage to be able to go, oh, okay, you know, we're having one of those disconnects. What do we need to do now? And the program He Zigs, She Zags walks them through 6 steps to be able to foster and build their communication and really provide them with that communication foundation that I would say probably, what you think, 95% of the people out there probably don't have.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those things too. Hey, we all are in different places and at different times. And there was a time for Elisa and I mean, we couldn't get on the same page if we tried. And yet we just realized that our marriage was important. And so through help, through going to counselors, going to different places, different people that we sought out, mentors, talking, learning, that's the way we were able to come back together. You know, at one point in time, I mean, we were leading small groups for married couples, and we were the least, you know, qualified to do it. But we stepped out there and just, hey, we're here to share that, you know, we're not perfect and we know you guys aren't perfect. So let's learn together. And that's a big message that we send to a lot of people, that you're not alone. And I think if you think you're alone, that usually is when one or the other doesn't want to move forward, because they feel like, this is just a one, you know, it's just us. And really it's not. We hear from couples so often, and so many of us are struggling with some of the same issues.
Guys, the last question I have is the same one I have for every one of our guests. What's the one thing you would like to emphasize to our listeners that you've either covered or have not covered as of yet? What's that one most important thing you could get across to them?
and have fun. Have fun in your marriage. I don't know where this came about, but it seems like so many people get married and all of a sudden, I mean, there's so much joy and excitement in the wedding. And then after that, it's like, it's dread. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm married. And it's like, no, this is such an adventure. Look at it as an adventure. Go into it just like you would do anything else and just have fun with each other. Laugh a little bit, you know, laugh at yourself. We make mistakes. It's okay. I mean, I've had to learn to do that, you know, and I can get type A crazy at times. And it's just, hey, we have meltdowns. We mess up. Ask for forgiveness, you know, give forgiveness. I think the big thing for me is just realize this. It's an adventure that lasts a long time when you, after you say I do.
Yeah. The wedding is really the beginning. It's not the end, because so many people focus on getting to the wedding, or even, you know, in the case of a lot of your listeners, getting to the point where they're bringing the baby home. And I love, Blake, that, you know, as you stopped the car and you mentioned this at the very beginning of the show, that you turned around and looked to Mary and said, promise me, you know, I'll always be first, or that you always put the marriage first. And I think, honestly, if more people took that point of view in their marriages, we would see crazy phenomenal marriages and super, super strong families out there because of the fact that that relationship, that marriage relationship, has the importance that it's supposed to have. And the focus is on the two of you. Because in reality, you know, in 18 years, if all goes well, those precious little, you know, bundles of joy that are, you know, 7 pounds will be, you know, teenagers heading out of your house to go forge their own lives. And you want to be able to look across the table at this person and say, wow, you know, I'm so excited to get the next 20, 30, 40 years with you, just you and me. But you got to do that by making the marriage the priority.
I'm already inspired. I've already told Blake where we're going. Once Rose is off to college, we're going to Bali, where you get massages for 2 hours for $6. You live like a king and queen.
Yes.
my not even retirement plan, my kids off to college plan.
Well, you know, I think more parents should celebrate their kids going off to college as an opportunity to renew their marriage.
We tell our kids all the time, we're like, hey, when you guys are gone,
we're out of here.
We're selling everything. We're going to live on the beach. Well, where are we going to go when we come back from college? I don't know. You're not coming back here. We love you guys, but it's your mom and I time.
We don't love you that much. Trust me.
Well, you know, but we want them to have their own lives.
Yeah.
So and, you know, and we want them to know, again, that our relationship is the primary relationship. You figure it out.
I love it. Well, Tony and Elisa, thank you so much for chatting with us. You've been such an inspiration, and we are so excited to hear back from our listeners, to hear feedback about what they thought about this podcast. I know it is a struggle that many of us have been dealing with, and it sounds like it's a huge struggle for marriages around the world. So once again, listeners, you're going to want to check out Tony and Elisa from OneExtraordinaryMarriage.com. They have an awesome podcast. I recommend listening to it while you go for a walk. But Tony and Elisa, thanks so much once again.
You are welcome.
Thanks, you guys.
All right, Blake, are you still pumped about this episode? Does it still top your expectations?
And not only am I excited for this episode, hearing that interview just made it even better for me. Like, I'm already raring to go. Like, let's get a picture of that pattern of the bra and have some fun. I'm ready to do it.
Well, I am glad that you're enthusiastic.
You know, I'm actually really excited about this episode. I'm ready to go, and I'm ready to use like the big three that they talked about, you know, like the being intentional and stopping the glorification of busy and take action. You know, we get caught up in the busy, I feel like, all the time. Everybody gets caught up in the busy.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, and their recommendations on how to stop that is just to plan your days. And like we said, we just talked about the picture of the bra and take action to initiate and maybe planning out, hey, on Tuesdays, Mary initiates. And trust me, I'd be all for that, by the way. I'm not going to lie. What I'm saying is these are three easy ways. And these are the only ways, obviously, that these guys know how to help the intimacy out. But it's fantastic what they've done. They've taken it and they've made it relatively simple, right?
Yeah. And it's funny because I think when you are a new parent, or even if you're an older parent and you have teenagers driving you bonkers, or if you just have a busy life, maybe you're not even a parent yet, but you've been with your partner for a while and life gets, quote, busy. I think that just having the mindset, and that's why I completely recommend that you listen to this podcast, One Extraordinary Marriage, because even just listening to a podcast like that, where the focus is having an awesome relationship, if you start to think about it and think that your relationship is work, it's not just about being intimate in the bedroom, it's about talking to the person, it's about understanding the whole relationship, and just that it does take work. You mm-hmm. might need to initiate more frequently, but you are not in the mood. I mean, Lord knows, when you have gone with sleepless nights, or you're stressed at work, or you're worried about your body image, I mean, that's huge for new moms. Mm-hmm. Like, I still don't feel attractive. I feel very squishy, to mm-hmm. be honest. Like, I am a huge fan of my pajamas, and I don't plan on, you know, doing any kind of striptease anytime soon. Because A, that's just not me, but you know what I mean? It's like, you already have all these insecurities, you're tired, you have spit up on yourself, and you kind of lose a little bit of a sense who you are. And I know that often partners go through that too. So I think that just getting in the mindset of saying, you know what, I'm going to take the initiative to do something, to take sure. a baby step inside of this. And so if that's what you leave from it today, guys, kudos to you. Like, just take that first step.
And I want to say too, look, I could sit here and tell you that, oh, you know, being intimate is more than just being physically attracted to your partner, and, you know, it's about talking and engaging, and you know, those things are all true. I find you attractive, yes, because you're smart and you're funny and you make me laugh and you make me swoon and you do all those things.
I feel like you need to write these down and remind yourself when I'm a little cranky. Yeah. Remember when you said,
I'm gonna need more than that when you're a little cranky
and funny and
you're wicked smart guy. No. What I'm saying is this: those things are all true, but coming from a guy's perspective here, let's just be honest. I am physically attracted to you. Now, my wife, she is the prettiest girl I ever met. I tell her that literally every single day. That's not an exaggeration. Please back me up on this, Mary.
You haven't told me that yet today.
Oh, my God. You really going to bust my balls over that?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Okay, you are the prettiest girl I ever met.
There you go. Now you have done it.
Okay, thank
you. Good job.
No. And earlier today, Mary was modeling some bathing suits for me. And I'm looking at the bathing suits, and I'm being very critical of the bathing suits and this and that. And she got some new ones. She was excited about them. And then I turned around, and I took a step back, and I was like, okay, let's just take measure of what's happening right in front of me here. I have this 6 foot tall, beautiful, tall, dark haired, beautiful woman right in front of me wearing bathing suits. And I'm sitting here looking at that like it's like a piece of paper. And I took a step back. I took a step back and I said, this is actually really freaking hot right now. And I realized how physically attracted to you I am. What I mean by all of this is you kind of lose sight of that sometimes. You forget the fact that when you met your wife, you actually thought she was kind of hot and you were attracted to her. And after you know, going to have kids and going to all these different events and seeing the granny panties and the sweatpants and all that stuff, you kind of look at your spouse as though they're a partner. And they are. They are a partner. But you stop looking at them like, I'm going to be a bit careful when I say this. You stop looking at them like they're a sexual object. You know, you stop looking at them like they're smoking hot because you got all that crap going on. And hell, I was right there with you. I totally fell victim to that. And it was, you know, rectified today. But that's one of those things you have to be cognizant of, I suppose.
I agree. And I think it just goes to being cognizant, taking the initiative, whether it's a compliment or a text message or just something. I'm not saying go, you have to jump in the sack today. Mm-hmm. I got you guys. Like, you might need a little prep time. So just decide that you're going to take an action, whatever that may be, and do it.
I would say a text message. Mary sent me a nice, very nice text message this afternoon. And, you know, it's not that it was overall like overly sexy or whatever or anything. It was just a little hint of something that was really cool. And I liked it a lot.
I got a little flirtatious.
A little flirtatious.
It's true.
And it played on my imagination, and I liked it. And it set the mood. It gave me that kind of feeling again that when we were, you know, 20, yeah,
when
25.
We were young and dating. And
25 and being madly in love with each other. Not that I'm not madly in love with you now, but it's a different kind of love. You know what I mean?
You saw me give birth. It changed things a little, didn't it?
Little bit.
Aww.
Little bit.
Well, I hope it didn't change your opinion of me too much.
No, come on
now. It should have changed it for the better.
Of course it did.
Good. Well, we have some great listener feedback from some other new parents or soon to be new parents again. Kate Kloss on Facebook said that she listened to our breastfeeding podcast today since she's going to be starting that up again very soon. Get this, it's been 4 years since she's done it. And she figured she needed a little refresher and found that podcast episode to be so informative and she learned so much. Having been through it before, she didn't know how helpful it would be, but it was really, really helpful. So she says, thank you. You guys are awesome. And I know exactly where to go if I have any issues. Well, I'm really happy about that, Kate. And the thing is that's it. It's like you think you've done it before and each baby's going to be different. And it is. It's sometimes good for a refresher. And I think that Kathy Morin even shared with us some tips that I didn't even know at all. And I still am breastfeeding.
I feel like you're a breastfeeding like expert.
Yeah, but obviously I'm not.
Apparently you're not.
I don't have that lactation degree,
and
man.
That's why you got to listen to Parentcast.
That's right.
Noli Smith got us on Facebook. She said that she listened to our sleep podcast with Alexis Dubieff from TroublesomeTots.com. She said that not only did she like it, but she hired a sleep sense consultant, and she now recommends them to everyone. An added bonus is having someone sane on your side to help you out while it's all going down.
We got some great feedback on Instagram. I asked the question, you know, how do you keep the intimacy going on in your relationship when you have a baby? And Lily1619 said that she said date nights, in-house or out of the house, babysitters, family or whatever, are just as good for kids as they are for your relationship with your spouse. Mm-hmm. If you can't afford going out, date nights at home works just as well. Just get the kids to bed and have a candlelit dinner with no TV or phones. And I think that that is the key.
Mm-hmm.
You need to say, even if it's once a week, we are turning off our phones, you know, from dinner on, let's do this. Let's learn how to talk in person again. So that was a great Instagram comment. We had some fun on Twitter. Shauna tweets, my baby likes to sleep all day, making me exhausted. And when I get to bed, she doesn't stop kicking and won't sleep, keeping me awake. First semester was hard. I couldn't eat or smell anything without feeling sick. But she's much better now. So, Shauna, we feel your pain, but don't worry. You're gonna get through it, girl. There's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, being pregnant and having all that stuff. Oh my God, I can't even fathom that. Like, I feel kind of stupid even commenting on what it's like to have a kid kick inside of you. I feel so stupid.
Anne tweeted us that she's in bed at 8:30 on Friday nights, hashtagging it new mom. She says her baby slept from 9 p.m. to get this, 7:30 a.m. with only 2 nursing breaks, and you are one lucky devil. She says she wouldn't trade it for the world. Good for you, Anne. Doesn't sound like you need any help from Troublesome Tots. Let's hope that this streak keeps going. And don't tell your friends about your sleep habits with your baby, because
they'll be super jealous.
They are going to be so jealous.
Caitlin M. tweeted, it doesn't matter when I put her son Crosby to bed. He'll talk, sing, and roll around for 20 plus minutes. He'll still be up at 6 a.m. Hashtag mom life. Hashtag baby sleep.
Caitlin, you know, a singing for 20 minutes. I kind of like that. That's kind of cute. Maybe you could at least take a little video of it from the monitor and you can remember it fondly.
I'm thinking maybe you put your kid to sleep earlier, like sequentially, like 15 minutes earlier every single day. Do you think that would help?
Well, I think that the baby just likes to sing himself to sleep.
Yeah, maybe that's his soothing technique.
Yeah.
Like my sister, her kid likes to pinch her to help soothe himself to sleep.
That's
really weird.
Not okay.
I know, it's like wicked weird.
Ouch.
I know, right?
I would stop that habit. But Caitlin, if you're digging that singing and rolling around for 20 minutes, enjoy it. You know, it's not like he's screaming, so that's good. Mara Rose jumped in. We asked some questions about, you know, mom guilt and how, if anyone feels that way. And Mara said, no matter what you do, you're a great mom. You meaning all of you. All you moms, listen to Mara. Mara didn't produce enough breast milk, and some moms made her feel guilty. She said, we have to adapt and support each other. And girlfriend, you could not be more right. That is awesome. We have to adapt and support each other, no matter what. If you're formula, if you're breastfeeding, if you vaccinate or don't vaccinate, or if you, I don't know, cry it out or not cry it out, if you hate onesies with footy pajamas, or if you like the snaps, we don't care. You know what? You're a parent, and you've made it through this, and you're doing a great job. So
she actually put up. She actually put up this really cool photo with some encouraging words for moms who have the mom guilt. I'll put that photo up in the show notes.
Lindsay Hines tweeted that she is done with the first week of being back to work. I really miss my boy. He reached for the first time to the sitter.
Oh,
it was a good day at work, but I didn't stop to think too long about it. She says she loves her job, but she misses her boy. And girl, mm-hmm. We understand. I think that you have struck a chord with lots of different people out there who hate leaving their babies at home with a sitter or at daycare. But I'm really glad that you love your work because that helps make it all worth it. So I think if you hated your job, it would be even harder. So just snuggle that little guy as much as you can.
Elizabeth tweets out, week two of the couch to 5K left buckets of sweat in her wake. And she thinks it's perfect for someone to just that's just starting. You can go at your own pace, and the app is great for new moms.
So that is Elizabeth's parent pick, you know, to do the Couch to 5K app. I've tried it, and I like the couch part a little too much, so I need to try it again. Way to go, Elizabeth. I'm being weak, too. Dr. Jasmine Tan says that money never seems to be enough to cover childcare and help. Every woman needs a wife.
Yeah, they do.
Right?
I like where you're going with that.
Stop it, Blake.
And what we want to do here is we're creating a new little segment. And I thought this segment was a cool idea. We like to welcome new members to the ParentCast family. So if you have a newborn, you have a friend that has a newborn, let us know and we'll give you a shout out. You know, I thought that was kind of cool. Let's just announce the kids and let's congratulate the moms too, right? Because they deserve it.
And the dads and the partners, everybody, the whole family. So
the whole shebang.
Melanie Braga sent us a tweet letting us know that on August 1st, she welcomed her baby daughter into the world. So welcome to the ParentCast family, little baby Nikki.
Robin tweeted out that in late July, she had a baby boy.
Well, congratulations, Robin. So yeah. Excited for you guys. So Melanie and Robin, congratulations. And any of you who had a baby recently, congrats to you too. And let us know. We want to give you a little shout out and we'll send you some little social media loving as well.
Yeah, so exactly.
Welcome to the ParentCast family. All right. It is time for the wines of the week.
What do you got, kid?
My kid fell off the couch so badly. So he now is at a climbing stage where he climbs everything. And I saw him climbing on the couch and I said, Reese, get down. And instead he stood up, proud as could be. He stood like Peter Pan. Remember how Peter Pan would stand when he would mock Captain Hook and do the with a little crow sound.
Oh,
he had
Robin
both
Williams.
Hands on the stop, rest in peace. He'd have his hands on his hips. So that's what my little kid did. He looked at me defiantly and did that. And I said, Reese, get down. And instead, he began jumping. So I, of course, dove like I was going to go save a volleyball. And instead, I didn't make it in time. And boyfriend dove off the couch head first and got an egg on his head. It was terrible.
How big was it?
It was about the size of a quarter.
Wow, that's a big one.
I mean, not that thick, like not elevated, but that's how big that big bruise was. And there was a pretty big bump there.
Oh my God.
Sure as heck, kid got on that couch the next day, fell off it again. So
that's
it
why I'm
has
proud
not.
Of him.
Well, I just wish he would learn.
He's stubborn like somebody I know.
I know. Gosh. Man, I thought he would just get my freckles, and instead he got my determination. So that's my wine. How about you, Blake?
Reese is starting to run, and he's like busting my balls. Reese knows to not touch Dad's phone. Don't touch Dad's phone. You're not supposed to touch. You can touch Mom's phone all you want. I don't care. But my phone, don't touch it. So he comes over to me the other day, and he's looking at me, and he's got this mischievous eye, like look in his eye. And what does he do? He sees my phone on the table, and he goes up and he snatches it like a freaking ninja, right? And he looks at me like, oh my God, he saw me. And he looks at me, and he laughs, and he turns around and he runs as fast as he can.
He was like Indiana Jones when that ball is chasing him.
Yeah.
You know, like when he gets the little trophy and he switches it with the bag of sand and he runs out.
Yeah, that's exactly how it happened. And it was so freaking funny. And I'm like, I'm going to get you. And he's running, and he's laughing and giggling. But like now it's starting to be the fact that he's running and running away from me. He's busting my balls. So I got to whine about that.
Let's talk about the awesome things that went on this week. The wins. What fantastic thing happened for you this week, Blake, that you just want to shout from the mountaintops about?
My kid's starting to run. How cool is that, right? He's well on his way to a scholarship now.
Yes, he is.
He's going to be the next running back or the next center fielder, maybe even a pitcher. I don't know. But he's starting to run. And like this is like a relatively recent thing. It's like so awkward. And it's like, you know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of Woody in Toy Story.
Yes.
You know how he's all arms and legs and it's just like this really awkward running motion? That's what he reminds me of.
I like that.
And it's so cute. I love that he's starting to run now.
Aw, precious.
Yeah, how about you?
My kid ate a spinach pie.
Oh, that was cool, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been giving Reese a lot of great food, especially since we even started off with baby-led weaning, but I didn't really have a lot of food in the house yesterday. And so I stopped at Whole Foods and I picked up a spinach pie, kind of thinking like, oh, if Reese doesn't eat it, I'll eat it. That's not really Whole30 approved, but I like spinach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So came home, kids asking for food. I cut the spinach pie in half and he sinks his teeth into it. I'm ready for him to spit all of that spinach out.
What did he do?
Ate that spinach pie, loved it, was walking around with it. So I'm really pumped because a lot of kids don't like spinach. My kid does. He's going to be the next Popeye.
Give me some Dexter Lovin.
It is time for our parent picks of the week, some kind of tip or item that we find incredibly useful. So, Blake, what do you recommend to the parents out there?
You are already listening to us. So go back to iTunes, do yourself a favor, and look up One Extraordinary Marriage, their podcast. You've already heard them today. You heard what they're about. It's barely even a taste of what they talk about and how they handle their business and how they handle their relationships with people and themselves. I'm telling you, do yourself that favor. You will not be disappointed. So listen to One Extraordinary Marriage podcast.
Great job.
And go out and rate and review them too. They're wonderful people. They deserve fives all the way around. Class act. Can't get any better than them.
Nice. I like your recommendation.
Thanks. What do you got?
I'm recommending an item.
What?
It's by Summer Infant, mm-hmm. a brand that I love. They're actually based out of Rhode Island. Summer Infant has this pack and play that's called a pop and play. And it's light. You can bring it to the beach. You can bring it to the park. It's super, super cool because the bottom of it is like a tarp.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to go to the beach and you're worried that your kid's going to run off, you get a pop and play. And you
and
stick
like
your kid in
too,
it.
Too, right?
Yeah, we fit three babies in it the other day.
Wow.
And it's kind of see-through mesh so they can see what's going on. They don't feel like they're caged. But it's really cool. It even comes with a sunshade, so if you want to block the sun from the kids. But I'm a huge fan of it. So we're going to use it for many years until Reese can figure out how to climb out of it. And then hopefully there'll be another person in it. And we can share it with friends because this This Pop and Play, it's awesome. So Summer Infant Pop and Play. We got a ton of listener feedback this week, and I love hearing from you guys, having all of these different recommendations, hearing your struggles and your successes. We want to hear from you even more. There are different ways you can reach out to us. So you can find us at parentcastpodcast.com. That is where you can leave some real voicemail where we can hear your lovely voice and you can tell us what's going on. And you can also listen to our episode there if you don't have iTunes. There's just a whole bunch of stuff. And you can see our beautiful artwork pictures and get information about our guests. So parentcastpodcast.com.
Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/ParrotCast.
Send us a tweet, 140 characters. You know how that is. Hey. And our Twitter handle is ParrotCast.
Get us on the email machine at parrotcast@gmail.com.
And if you are already not a subscriber, if you've like listened to a couple of these episodes and you're like, I like these people, please click the subscribe button in iTunes. And then if you like us still, we would love for you to go rate and review our podcast. It means so much, and it helps other new parents and parents in general and even friends of parents know what's going on in this modern day 2014 world that we are living in with these youngins. So rate and review us in iTunes. We love you guys so much.
We actually want to call out Mother of Pearl. She gave us a 5-star rating, and in her review, she says, I love this podcast. It's funny. It's real, and most importantly, it's honest. Even my husband enjoys listening to it while I'm cooking dinner. Well, boy, hopefully you're listening to this because we love having you. And a lot of women listen to this podcast, which is great. I'm super happy about it. But guys got to get involved too. So I try to make it so that it's not like too full of just like women stuff. You know what I mean?
Women stuff.
Way too much estrogen happening.
What do you think we talk about?
We need some testosterone in this podcast.
There is enough. There is you and Reese. All right. Thank you so much, Mother of Pearl.
Hey, if you want to get in touch with us too, please, we love to hear your voice. You've already heard it multiple times in this podcast. Call the ParentCast hotline. It's 503-454-6730. Hey, and if you can't get enough of us, we got two other podcasts. Mary, what are they?
Okay, there's a show on HBO called The Leftovers, and it's really freaky, and it's about like people just disappearing, including a baby. Oh my God. But anyway, if you watch that show, you're going to want to listen to our podcast. It's called The Living Reminders. Then there's this other show on Stars, and it's called Outlander. It's like this fantasy fiction romance, but it takes place in the 1440s in Scotland.
No, it's the 17th. It's the 18th century.
Oh gosh.
1700s.
Baby. I don't do math. Anyway, it's like really long time ago with handsome guys in kilts, but it's really historical, and so I think a lot of different people are going to like it. This is a new big hit show, just started last week, and our podcast for that show is called Outlander Cast. So you listen to Parent Cast, then you can listen to Outlander
Cast. It's like Twilight, but Scottish and for adults.
And cooler.
Yeah, way cooler.
Without Kristen Stewart. She was so cranky.
I know, and without like super shiny vampires, you know, it's dirty Scotsman.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Honestly, guys, do yourself a favor, watch Outlander.
Talk about reigniting the intimacy.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? Yes, that is our parent pick. Watch yourself some Outlander. And I would even go so far as to get yourself the audiobook of Outlander, because if you need some intimacy in your life, listen to that audiobook. All right? Guys, girls, I don't care. You will get inspired by what happens in Scotland. I'll tell you what. Hey, stop.
All right, let's close it out.
What do we have on tap next week, Blake?
For episode 24, we have a podcast dedicated to new moms and that they're going to be okay. It's going to be fine. So all the crap that new moms worry about, trust me, it's going to be all right. I swear. Because we're going to tell you why it's going to be okay. So get us the feedback. And if it sucks, we'll still put it on the air. And if it's good, guess what? We'll put it on the air too. Remember, I'm changing. I'm having a whole other attitude with listener feedback. If it sucks, we're still putting it on.
Good. I'm glad. Now you just have to learn how to speak within your time limit with the music, but you're getting there.
I'm still learning.
You're positive.
It's a whole new job for me. I'm totally thrown off.
It's all right. I still love you.
All right. I love you more. Prettiest girl I ever met.
I may not initiate right now. I'm kind of hungry. I'm going to eat first.
Tony and Elisa would be very disappointed in you.
I'm hungry. Sorry,
send me some more pictures, will you?
After I eat. Bye.